2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with this evening. I'm going to be reading several different passages of Scripture. Get things started. Thank you for that song, and maybe we'll get to hear from you again this evening. Wow. I've talked in recent weeks, I guess, about what is the plan or what is our purpose as a Christian. And it's easy for us to come to the conclusion of understanding New Testament scriptures that our purpose is to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, to the kingdom of God. That is our purpose. Tonight, I may be directing my focus more to our young people than everybody, because sometimes everybody, you know, we're set in our ways. And you know, somebody said that one, you know, when you get old, you can say whatever you want to. One of these days, I wish that there was a time when I could say whatever I wanted to and not be misunderstood. Add that to it as well. But young people face things that, you know, I'd never faced. I didn't have to deal with it on the level that young people face today. In many different fronts. But when we look at it from this aspect of bringing honor and glory to Jesus Christ, I really believe that a lot of young people want to do that. I really do. You know, some churches frown about their young people, and they grimace about the rebellion in their young people. And I thank God that our young people give a clear indication that they want to go God's way. They want to be Christians. They want to serve God. When I was a youth pastor, so many years ago, working with my father-in-law there at Madison, I wish I had my perspective now then. You know, I wish I knew then what I know now and had that perspective then. I would love to be able to sit down with Caleb before he steps into his role at Lima and tell him all of those things. I don't think that'll be possible. So young people, I want you to specifically listen up this evening and hear what I have to say. I'm going to be reading a number of passages, but my subject this evening would be working his purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now that's just preliminary reading. Here's where we get into the deeper stuff. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. There it is, giving God the glory for the kingdom. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, the kingdom, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And here's this verse that you've heard me refer to a number of times in the past. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now I want to jump over just a little bit here for a little while into 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to just read what Paul records about his light afflictions. That he calls here in chapter 4 his light afflictions. But he has a record of his afflictions over here in chapter 11. Verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? He said, I speak as a fool. I am more. And here it is. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews, 5 times received 39 stripes. 5 times he was whipped. 39 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Light afflictions. Once was I stoned. 3 times suffered shipwreck. A day and a night have I been in the deep. Journeyings often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, Paul, what are you talking about? He said, besides all of these other things, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Is he suggesting that church work is tough? Well, look at the churches that he cared for. Ephesus, Corinth. You want to talk about some problems? He carried all of that, besides all these things. And then he writes in chapter 4, my light afflictions. He said, my light afflictions in relationship to the glory that was yet to be revealed. You see, he wasn't looking at the temporal, the things that are here. He was looking at the eternal, the things that were invisible to the eye. And so by that vision, by that ability to look into the eternal, he called all of these things light afflictions. Romans 8:28. Somebody quote it for me. Somebody quote it for me real loud and clear. For we know that. I got you started. Well, we started off good and loud and clear, but then with the others we mumbled our way through it. But I think I heard what you were saying. Did you all hear what they were saying? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 beginning, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can take it to the bank. The same way that you can plant a grain of corn in the ground at this time of the year, in some weeks down the road you will have a harvest. What you sow is what you reap, he said. A man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. I've had a preacher friend text this verse to me repeatedly over the last several months. I'm not sure if he's trying to say something to me or what. I'm not sure if he's suspecting something or what. Or if he knows something that I don't know. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. For if we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Have you ever watched an accident happen on the highway or on a road? You ever seen an accident happen? Did you wonder why it wasn't you? Or maybe the other way around. You were in an accident and you wondered why it was you. Did you ever wonder why me when you were standing in the inconvenience of a checkout line? The slow cashier The checkout line was the slowest one that you had to pick. Someone's card wasn't reading properly. Just a few weeks ago, I was at Rural King, and the card wasn't reading properly, and I heard a commotion behind me. I ignored the commotion until I heard somebody say, "I'm going to hit you." And I turned around, and it was one of our people threatening me. Look around and see who's red in the face, and you'll tell which one it was. She wasn't meaning any harm. She's just trying to get my attention because I was ignoring the commotion behind me. My card wasn't working. There was people in line, and I know that they were in line, and they were grumbling about this person. Maybe you pulled up to the four-way stop, and it was crowded, and people just don't understand how four-way stops work. You think I've been there, experienced that? Or you pull up to a traffic light and the in-ground sensor just isn't working fast enough. Why don't they have these sensors working properly? I know, Martin County, what sensors? Well, if you go to the city, they have sensors. What about when you picked up a nail in your tire? And it went flat along the highway. Or maybe it didn't go flat along the highway, it went flat as you pulled into the driveway. Why? Why do these things have to happen to me? One way or the other. Because it's the meticulous working of details in our lives. That's why. That's why. The meticulous working of details in our lives. I think I've referred to the story before of Chester Decker, Herman Decker from Evansville. Years ago when he was in the ministry, he was picking people up to go to a ministerial convention. They were late getting started. They stopped at one of the preacher's houses, and he was not ready, even though they were already late, so that delayed them more. They finally picked up all of the guys that were going. I think there was four preachers in the car, and they were heading up the road to go when a tanker truck, I believe it was, crossed the center line and hit them head on, and the passenger was instantly killed. Herman Decker tells that story and says, everything worked because that man had an appointment with God. Do you believe that? Paul's telling us that all things work together. All things meticulously working out the details of our lives. If only I could go back and relive some things so that I could learn the lesson sooner. Or maybe slow down and realize that God is working the details for a specific purpose. Now, I'm not talking about deliberate acts to see if God steps in. You know, I didn't put gas in the car on Saturday night and the gauge is showing only 2 miles left that remain and Sunday morning dawns, well, I guess God doesn't want me to go to church today. No, I'm not talking about that. That's foolishness. I'm talking about living life to please God, to bring honor to Him, that my heart is surrendered, my life is His, I am His person. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27, and 28. There's three things here that I want us to notice about this passage. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. We know not what we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. That verse tells us something about we know not. The next verse, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth. He knoweth. what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know. I don't know, or we don't know in the first verse. He knoweth in the second verse. And then here's something that he tells us that we do know. What is it that he tells us that we do know? We know that all things work together, even if I don't know. Even if I don't know, I know that all things work together for good. My good for his glory. His purpose in my life, we know not. He knoweth. We know that all things. If you mark in your Bible, if it's okay with you to mark in your Bible, highlight that. All things. Everything. That includes hardship. That includes setbacks. That includes sickness. That includes stresses. Oh, I'm stressed out. To them that love God. Somebody said that this knowledge is the property of them that love God. This knowledge is the property of them that love God. Seldom does Paul describe Christians as, quote, those who love God, end of quote. Usually he uses the term like believers or the noun faith. Believers in Christ, faith, those that hold to the faith. But here he's saying those who love God. Now we often read or hear about God's love to us, that agape love, that unequivocal love, unhindered love, undying love, giving love, forgiving love, God's love. We hear about God's love to us, but what about our love for God? What about our love for God? Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The closing of the book of Ephesians. Grace be with all them that love our God, or love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. William Greathouse said that love for God is more than an emotional response. It is the devotion of one's total personality to God. It is the devotement of Job, whose love was not for selfish reasons. It is the devotion which says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Adam Clark notes that those who love God are those who live in the spirit of obedience. They live in the spirit of obedience. Now, as Christians, we love God. But our love for God is not the reason why all things work together for good. Mark this down in your mind. Highlight it. Bold print it. It's not because of our love for God that all things work for our good. No, as one man said, the reason for that is not found in us, but in God's objective, eternal purpose. That's why all things work together for good. It's because of God's objective, eternal purpose. Can you believe that? That God wants to work his purpose in your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color of hair you have. I don't care what color of eyes you have. It does not matter at all. In the least, God wants to work the details of your life. That's powerful. That's powerful, people. That God wants to do something through us, with us. All things. The New American Standard Version said, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Not that he causes them, but that he causes them to fit into place. I believe it was back in April that I preached about being redeemed. even our messes, our fumbles and stumbles, if we confess them to Him, He can still redeem them as well. He can still make something out of our messes. Now let me tell you a true story. And I have to confess at the very beginning that I don't know. I can't profess that I was attentive to the directives of the Holy Spirit until afterwards. Okay? I want you to understand that, because it's not something that I hear God saying out of the heavens, say, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. You want you to step over here. I want you. No, that's not it. It's simply living in such a way that God is able to work the details of His purpose in my life. It was a week and a half ago. I went to Velma's for breakfast, taking stuff with me because I intended to sit in the corner and study with a cup of coffee. Eat my breakfast and then sit there and study, because Thursday morning I was leaving for Pennsylvania. I wasn't going to get back from Pennsylvania until Saturday evening. I intended, it's still slow at Velma's. 7 o'clock in the morning's when they open. There's not that many people in there. I'll be able to get some quiet time in the corner and study using their internet. Okay? I took the van. I usually take the truck. Why did I take the van that day? I reached down and I picked up the van keys and I took the van. I parked close to the door. When I take the truck, I park further down the street. I arrived at Velma's 20 to 30 minutes later than normal. Why did I take the van? Why did I go later than normal? Had I arrived what I would think of as on time, a man by the name of Spencer would not have been there yet. I pulled in and I parked beside a little Toyota that had a flat tire. Why did I take the van? Because I needed my Toyota jack. It made it a whole lot easier to work on his car than my truck jack would have. I pulled in beside this little Toyota that had a flat tire. I got out, and sitting in front of the store was a man named Mike. Had I been on time, he would not have been out there yet. I felt just a soft nudge to sit down and talk to Mike for a little bit before I went in. So I did. I sat down. I asked him whose car that was. He told me who it was. We chatted for a little bit, and it was Spencer's car, and Spencer came out. Spencer always scowled at me. Spencer didn't like me too much. You see, I had taken his seat in Velma's a couple of times, got there before he did, and he didn't like me very much. He scowled at me every time, whether I was in his seat or not. So finally, I decided I wasn't going to sit in his seat anymore. It was the best seat in the house. It gave you the view of everything, everybody practically, except for in the other corner. It was the best seat in the house. But I didn't sit there anymore if I thought that he was going to be there. So when he came out, I asked him, Spencer, do you know that you got a flat tire? Yeah, I drove it here like that. I wonder if Bailey's will put my spare on. Oh, Spencer, you can't drive to Bailey's with that. You can't do that. And about that time, I stood up. And when I stood up, Mike, who's sitting there, said, I'll give you $20 if you change it for him. And I just started walking over to Spencer's car, and I said, I'm going to change his tire whether anybody gives me money or not. That's not the point here. He said, well, good, because I didn't want to give it to you. I just wanted to see if you'd change it. See what I'm up against? I I changed that tire, getting all dirty, sweaty, because it didn't just come off and a new tire or a different tire went on. It was hard work. I had to beat it and kick it and pound it, and it finally broke loose and came off. I was wanting to sit in a corner and study, but now I'm dirty and sweaty. Had to borrow somebody else's wrench just to get the spare out of the trunk. What do I owe you? Spencer, you don't owe me anything. Really? I said, that's right. You see, I want a friend that day. I wanted to sit in the corner and study. I want a friend that day. He hasn't scowled at me anymore since that time. I won a friend. I went inside, got cleaned up, and I sat in my corner hoping to study. I think I told you that once. I placed my order for breakfast and was getting myself situated to study, and I noticed that there were two guys that had stopped the waitress as she left my table. I tried to listen in on the conversation, couldn't quite understand what was going on, so I asked. You see, they were wanting my ticket. They were wanting to pay for my breakfast that morning. I'll change your tire every day then. The one that had already paid for my breakfast was checking to see if they had given her enough for what I had ordered. And I heard her say, yeah, that was plenty. That's how I figured out that there's something devious going on there. So I had to ask. I was sitting there and wanting to study for a while. In the corner with a cup of coffee by myself. You know what I'm talking about. You heard me say it before. Steve came over and sat down. Steve's hungry. Steve's searching. I can point to different ones in here that have been a blessing, and I can point to different ones that have already gone on to their reward that have been a blessing in his life. Now it's our turn to either plant a seed or to water. He came over and sat down. I wanted to study. We talked. He got up and left, and about the time he got up and left, a couple came in, and they looked around to see what was available for tables, and they saw the table sitting right beside me, and they decided to come over and sit down beside me. They were celebrating their 42nd wedding anniversary at Velma's. We chatted most of the time that they were there. I bragged on their son. I bragged on their grandsons. We exchanged the testimony of God's blessings. A man came in who grew up in a Holiness church in Evansville. I talked to him for a while, and then I went outside and talked to his wife for a while. Came back in to sit in my corner to study. When another couple came in and saw that the table beside me was empty, and they came over and sat down. He was raised in a Holiness church, got away from it. We talked the whole time they were there. Shared. Unbeknownst to me, I really believe it was ministry because of the whole circumstance. Someone else came in and sat down across the way a little bit and chatted with him briefly. When everybody was gone, Mike came over and sat down. You see, Mike don't come and sit down with me. Mike needles me. I think Mike needles me because somebody in my position hurt him somewhere in the past. So he needles me. Every time he walks by me at Velma's, he says something. Just like he was fooling around outside, give you $20, change that tire, fully thinking that I wouldn't do it. He sat down, we talked, and we talked. See, I sat in that corner chair so that I could study, but Mike needed something that day. God opened up the door for me to share his love and his grace with Mike, and I want a friend. And after 2.5 hours, I picked up my stuff that I had with me there at the corner table that I have yet to even open. And I came home because I had a full day ahead of me. And when I pulled into the driveway, it was as though the Holy Spirit said, "You don't know what you're going to do about your study time. But I have orchestrated the details." And then it hit me. You took the van. The truck jack would not have worked right. You parked beside the car with a flat tire because you took the van. And everything was orchestrated. All things. Not because we love him, but for his eternal purpose. And young people, if we will just walk step at a time, step by step, he opens doors for us to walk through. Now, I started with a little bit of transparency here in this story, saying that I didn't see God's direction at that point. And as I look back over years of life, I have to sadly say that I haven't always followed, because I've looked back and said, "Oh, I missed it there. I missed it there. I missed it there." Well, don't get discouraged. Keep on going. Keep on plodding. Keep on stepping. Keep yourself in his hand. Because if he has you, all of you, he will guide you just like that. Step by step. Without you even knowing it. Literally. Don't expect God to give you the grandiose plan. Don't expect that he's going to give you the big picture. Just allow him to have you. Just allow him to have you. The good, the not so good, and the neutral stuff. It's all a part of his detailed plan to work out his purpose in my life or in your life. What are we talking about? I'm talking about working his purpose. Working his purpose. Just letting God fill in. Just letting God fill in the blanks. Letting God work out his deal, his purpose and his details in our life. There's some things that we don't know. God knows. But what we do know is that all things work together for our good. Not because we love him, but for those who love him, because of his eternal plan. May it be so. May it be so. Don't think that I'm bragging in any way. I was thrilled. I was excited when I realized that I was an instrument in his hand. I had another purpose. I had another goal and another objective. God saw fit to lay that all aside. And I was blessed. I was blessed in the end of it all. Let God work in your life that same way, step by step, following him. Praise God. Here I have gone forever and along, two services in a row so late. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thankful to be in God's house, God's presence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Trust you have a good week this week. And enjoy God's blessings. Don't forget business meeting on Wednesday. Gabe, would you dismiss us in prayer?